Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right. Hey, got Marsha Brady in the studio tonight.
Heck yeah, I was doing the Marsha Brady.
Wow.
Ooh, well, we
you are in rare form tonight, let me tell you.
It's because I'm loopy. You're
in rare form.
Oh, I have not been feeling good today.
Wow. Jeez.
And I just turned 50, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
you
all
know,
going backwards now.
You just turned 50 yesterday, so you're officially a member of the 50 Club, like me.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Ooh.
Woo.
Woo. Oh, man. Thursday night again. Wow. What a week this has been shaping up to be in the news, and oh, my goodness. So, you got something to start us out with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
Oh, let's see.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Okay. So tonight's devotional is called Don't Be Impressed. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That's from John 5:28-29. Do not marvel, do not be impressed. Raising every human being from the dead is not a marvelous act for God. It will take nothing but a gentle whisper of his voice. Death must obey his every word and bow the knee. This is the same word that spoke the suns into existence and fashioned every intricate atom in the universe. Nothing is impossible for him, so don't marvel at this. Those who have done good will have their works follow them into eternity. They will be rewarded by God, and those who have done evil will have their evil works follow them, which will be evidence of their guilt. Every murderer who thought he got away with it will stand before his Creator and face perfect justice. We cannot but both rejoice and tremble at such sobering thoughts. We rejoice that justice will be done and tremble for those on whom eternal justice will fall. The soul searches, have I thought about an atom and considered the intricacies of each one? It takes trillions of them to form a rock or a human hand. Now think on their maker. And the prayer is, Father, take the blinders off my mind.
Very good. Got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
How's your vision?
We just had the discussion that I just turned 50, so I don't know.
No, I mean, think about it, okay? Topic for tonight, how's your vision? You know, any successful endeavor requires a vision, right?
Oh, that kind of vision.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, the word vision literally means the ability to see things that are visible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also used to mean the ability to see other things. Unusual competence and discernment or perception. Intelligent foresight. And vision is also the art of being able to see things invisible. So, such ventures as business or politics require men of vision, which I'm not really convinced here are right now, but okay. Yeah. But
I think it's rather farsighted.
Companies require CEOs with vision. Countries require leaders with vision.
Yeah, we're just going to walk past that
so
one for now.
Without the ability to visualize worthy goals, how can these be realized? Very little of importance is achieved. So what we need to think about, and what we're going to talk about later, in the Lord's work, we desperately need an elevated vision of what it's all about. And I think with the things we've got going on in the world right now, and things going on everywhere, that elevated vision is what every Christian needs to be using right now. vision for the Lord's work. So we're going to talk about that a little later on in the show. And time to roll into some more craziness that's going on in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for the news.
Do you ever watch the news nowadays and just think that everything you hear kind of starts like this old TV show?
Today on The Electric Company, the man asks...
Now, everybody our age is probably laughing right now. And the younger people are like, whoa, what was that?
What?
Wow. So, I mean, really... There was TV shows like this, and, you know, it was kind of a comedy. You know, it was an educational show, but things are kind of starting to get that way.
Well, you know, honestly, I feel like we've been kicked back to, like, 1980, you know, being part of the Cold War, which, yep, you know, was always kind of on the razor's edge of happening, you know, ever since like Bay of Pigs and all that kind of stuff back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I really feel like what we're dealing with is kind of like, it makes me think of the Avengers, you know, you've got the forces of good versus the forces of evil.
Yeah, I mean, you got, you know, Russia right now saying, you know, requesting the UN, you know, hold a special meeting on biological activities in Ukraine. I guess now he's, you know, it's such, the word of the day, kids, is diversion. Let's divert everything. Or
delusion.
I mean, you know, they're saying that, you know, found that the U.S. spent north of $200 million on biological laboratories in Ukraine as part of the U.S. bioweapons program. The U.S. military has laboratories all over the world.
Yeah, like China.
You know, so, and hey, this just come up like 16 minutes ago. You know, they've been talking about allowing the transfer of MiG fighters and stuff to Ukraine. And now a group of 42 GOP senators penned a letter urging Biden to allow transfer of MiG fighters to Ukraine.
My question is, where are the MiG fighters coming from?
Well, there are a bunch of these.
Because MiGs are Russian.
They are, but they were German-made. A lot of them are in Poland.
Ah. Well, see, that would explain it. I'm glad I asked. You know, I would think that, you know, if we're really in this to win this with Ukraine, and we are at least giving lip service to the fact that we stand with Ukraine. I mean, I come from Ukrainian-Russian descent, so I definitely stand with Ukraine. I don't like what's happening there. I don't like the travesties that are happening there, the blood that's on Putin's hands, and he just could care less.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about a goal. It's about getting the Crimea. It's about taking what he wants and letting nothing stand in his way, because he knows that our leader is weak and is not going to really do anything of substantial force to stop him. You know, I mean, if they were putting out the new F-16s and the F-29s and sending those to Ukraine, then I'd be like, okay, you know, we got this. You know, at least it's something comparable to a Russian MiG.
Did let you know of a story that I saw yesterday that said that there were Patriot missiles, you know, in Poland, and they were manned. There was something just popped up. I mean, it was a breaking thing that just popped up while you were talking. because I, you know, I'm constantly on the news, and it's just popped up that satellite imagery shows a portion of the Russian military convoy has dispersed. Taken over the past 24 hours near Kiev shows that it is largely dispersed and redeployed. Large Russian military convoy that was seen in last seen northwest of Kiev near Antonov Airport has largely dispersed and redeployed. Armored units are seen maneuvering in and through and surrounding towns close to the airport. Elements of the convoy further north have repositioned and are deployed in forests along tree lines near Lubyanka.
Okay, I'm confused.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean,
they're in firing positions nearby.
So they are surrounding, what you're saying is they're surrounding Kiev.
Yeah, because they've got damage to commercial and residential property is seen in and around Kiev, also in Chernihiv, northeast of Kiev. So, you know, it's like they're just surrounding over and taking over areas, especially really sad thing that we heard yesterday with the hospital and
oh my gosh,
maternity ward hit.
That is so wrong. I mean, these are war crimes, people. These are war crimes.
Yeah.
They are using vacuum bombs to devastate the Ukrainian population. And if you don't know what that is, honey, tell them.
Well, there are bombs that they've dropped and used that are basically like vacuum bombs. And anything that's used in those areas or anyone that's in and around, even in, you know, a couple of miles proximity of this bomb going off, I mean, it can literally, I mean, just pop your lungs. I mean, suck the air right out of you. I mean, they are highly frowned upon to be used. And it's about the closest thing to an atomic bomb, probably the strongest thing to have. They could use, and it's, I don't know why, you know, they're using this type of artillery. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just a little crazy, and I've been pretty upset about the things that have been going on and hearing about all the different things, and, you know, it just seems like more and more and more and more come out, and then
this is just what we're hearing about.
Yeah,
you know, we don't know what else could be going on, and you know, if you can make a comparison about the people involved in this, I don't know if it's a war, if it's a power play. You know, I'm not sure how we're really supposed to view this. I mean, it is. It should be sanctioned, to be honest. I mean, there should be something that already was done about this 3 weeks ago. But, you know, if you look at it, it is like literally brothers and sisters and families on one side and brothers and sisters of those families on the other side. And the Russians are not happy with what Putin is doing. They are crossing borders and trying to help the Ukrainians fight. And, you know, there's so many people reaching out from countries nearby and accepting these people in that have been displaced or really just want to get away from the devastation that is happening to their homes. And, you know, you pointed out something to me earlier this week that just really touched me. And it was about the Polish women that were leaving strollers
at the train station
so that Ukrainian mothers, you know, if they had to leave in a hurry and couldn't get a stroller to go with them, they have them. I mean, mother to mother, child to child.
I mean, you've got everyday citizens now wanting to go help. For example, a former Canadian soldier known as one of the world's most deadliest snipers has arrived to Ukraine to help the nation defend itself from Russia. He's putting his own life on the line You know, he said, you know, he's one of the most deadliest snipers there ever been in the world. And he said that he has to go help them.
Yeah, I want to know where SEAL Team 6 is. That's what I want to know. Because, you know, in certain instances, you know, we know as a fact, you know, that SEAL Team 6 is sent out to assassinate leaders and other things. But, you know, this is the group, this is the crack group of folks that goes and tries to end things in a quick way. And I understand, you know, like back when we were having all of these sort of standoffy sort of issues with North Korea, you know, it was like, are we going to send them? Are we not going to send them? Are we making a plan? Are we not making a plan? And the whole thing was, well, you know, if they took out the current leader of North Korea, who was going to rise up in his place? Mm-hmm. You know, because things are done very differently over there than they're done here. Oh, and yeah. And so it makes me wonder, why are they letting this play out with Putin, who clearly has lost his mind, and not just ending this before it gets to a point where there could be complete world destruction? I mean, happy news today that I'm reading is about what to do in the event of a nuclear explosion, and that scares me.
Yeah. Well, there's talks where they're saying they can't let it get to that level of nuclear, but, you know, like we were going through in the show last week where they were shelling the nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I can't even think of the right word to say right now, but there's no vision in this. I mean, what he's doing, is blatant. It's like, we're going to do whatever we need to do by any means necessary. We're going to mow people down. We're going to get what we want. And it's like a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, back here at home, you got a revolving door of excuses, which lately have just went on around. You know, inflation's caused by, and gas prices are caused by what's going on in Ukraine, even though all this stuff was going on before Ukraine, before he invaded Ukraine. Gas prices were going up the end of last year. Prices of things were going up even before Christmas. But yet, it's all because of what he's done with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I look at the people that have been tasked with trying to explain to the American people and the world about what's going on with our internal strifes as well as our external strifes. And, you know, some of the ideas and some of the quotes that have come out of things. And, you know, if you're on social media at all, you have already seen this and you already know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to put too fine of a point on it, but, you know, these are not the people that should be speaking for the American government. You know, they actually need somebody from the Joint Chiefs to discuss what's going on with this Ukraine conflict, if you will. And we need somebody better than Paul Buttigieg to tell us that if we don't like gas prices, we need to go out and buy an electric car.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just gas prices that are hitting record highs right now. Everything. And I mean, the middle class Americans are the one that's getting hurt the worst right now.
There's hardly any middle class really left. You know, I mean, because we're struggling to stay there. I mean, we are what I would like to consider middle class, but, you know, if we're going to be taxed, literally, with everything that's going on, and even to the point where, you know, when we filed our taxes this year, they took back money for the stimulus checks that we received. I mean, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and we are paying for everybody's lunch.
Yep. And I mean, you know, I don't know if you heard this today, but, you know, North Korea is trying to flex its muscles a little bit now with, you know, latest ICBM missile testing.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, there's a lot going on. It's definitely some things to be worried about. It's definitely, you know, it's not just here, it's everywhere. And, you know, to put a finer point on it, who does Biden send to kind of help relations over there? Just don't bang your head on the microphone. But, I mean, you know, Kamala Harris, because, you know, she's done such a great job with the border, you know.
Oh.
But, you know.
Yeah, and oh, God. There was that whole thing about her trying to explain the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. And, you know, it became fodder for social media. I got to admit, I saw it. I shared it. And the response of my circle of people that see my social media were like, my fourth grader could do a better job than this.
You know, it's this little country that's like right below that. So the bigger country wants to take over the little country.
And that's just wrong.
And pink and blue crayons are my favorite color. You know, might as well throw that in there.
I know. I like to smell markers.
Yeah, it's like, and pointing fingers. And earlier today, it was kind of funny. Someone from Fox News asked Jen Psaki today if Putin will be Biden's scapegoat until after the midterms.
Oh, I don't even want to know what she said, because that woman pains me on the daily. I mean, she just, if she can't put two feet in her mouth at the same time, then she hasn't had a good day. I mean, oh.
Here's something that's pretty cool if you're in the Pennsylvania area. Never know. Some people are. But Sight and Sound to Aid Ukrainians as new production of Biblical Story of David premieres Friday in PA.
Hmm.
And what they're doing, Sight and Sound, it's what? Been...
Why there?
4 years in pre-production. And they're premiering the newest production Friday night in Lancaster, Pennsylvania Theater. And it's a state-of-the-art live experience.
Oh.
And it's been 4 years in the making, and it will present the familiar Bible story from the book of Samuel when, you know, in a fresh way when it premieres on Sight and Sound's 300-foot panoramic stage with massive sets and special effects, things like that. So what they're going to do is... basically, they're going to support, they're going to send aid to Ukraine from the proceeds.
Well, dang, if you are listening to us and you live in Pennsylvania and you're going to go and see this, send us an email. Gosh, I would really like to see what
I'd love it if they would bring something like this to this area.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see if you've got your phone camera and you can take some pictures of this incredible set, or, you know, you can, you know, send us like just a clip of what the production looks like. I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, you know, all our folks out there that are listening, if you're in Pennsylvania or you plan on being there for this, let us know, show us what it looked like. 'Cause wow, that would be impressive.
So here's something. This is a story that kind of grabbed my attention and bothered me on a pretty severe level when I read it.
Uh-oh.
Again, I didn't see this on any mainstream news mm-hmm. that's come from Christian news media.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACLJ has warned a proposed Maryland Senate bill. Now follow this. the Maryland Senate has a bill that could legalize infanticide up to 28 days after birth.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that just made me feel completely nauseated.
Yeah. There are two bills before the state legislator aim to do just that.
If that passes and you live in Maryland and you don't want your baby, send it to me.
So, House Bill 1171 now, titled Declaration of Rights, Right to Reproductive Liberty, is a proposed amendment to the Maryland Constitution that would establish that every person has a central component of the individual's rights to liberty and equality and fundamental right to reproductive liberty. So basically, if passed by a legislator, Marylanders would vote on the proposed amendment in the general election in November.
I'm sorry. That is disgusting. Because what difference does it make if it's in your ninth month, or 28 days later, or 28 months later, or 28 years later? It's a murder.
Here's the thing. If a mother gets shot, the mother dies and the baby dies, the person that shot them gets charged with double homicide.
Right.
So if that is double homicide, tell me how this is not. And a pro-life advocate's warned that under this bill, a baby who survived an abortion could be left to die without care. But the measure reportedly goes one step further. No type of legal investigation will be permitted, or any type of penalty will be applied to anyone involved in leaving a baby to die.
And yet, that's okay, but the elderly who would want to self-terminate and can make that decision for themselves, that's considered murder if a doctor allows that to happen. This is just beyond my scope of understanding.
Well,
and if you vote for that,
yeah,
you're a murderer.
That right there, this type of thing is exactly the way things are turning in this world. I mean, it is sad, and that is why as Christians we have to learn, come together. We have to stand up against this stuff. It's not just here, everywhere.
Well, right, because if something like this passes in Maryland, then it's going to be a free-for-all in any other very liberal state.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can live with yourself and do something like that, you got bigger problems.
Well, we're gonna pray that this definitely does not get picked up by the people.
No, I mean, this is crazy. And seriously, you know, if you don't want your baby, there are so many people out there that are unable to have babies of their own, and you know, they will gladly take your baby.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to provide for a child. You don't have to keep your baby. Just keep it safe and have it and leave it at the hospital. You know, just leave it for somebody to adopt.
It's a very, very sad topic.
Yes, for sure. It is. It's depressing.
Yep, and everything that's going on. But hey, you remember the beginning of the show, I asked you how your vision was?
Yes.
So now I want to talk a bit about vision. Okay? And I said, in the Lord's work, we desperately need an elevated vision of what it is all about, right?
Yes.
We need greater goals. What can be done? And greater objectives. How can it be done? And Jesus certainly had a great vision. You know what that vision was? The vision was the saving of souls. And if we go to the book of Matthew 9:36-38, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And then in John, the book of John 4:35, it says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So we need to have visions that are worthy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what can help us to elevate and enlarge our vision in the Lord's work? Let's first notice how inadequate vision can actually stifle our work. You know, two ways our vision could be inadequate. An illustration of inadequate vision would be, suppose a man is driven by the vision of making as much money as possible. There are two things keeping him from making as much money as he should. He may be limited in his idea of what is a lot of money, and he may never make any specific plans other than have the vague notion of making as much as possible. His problem is his vision. His vision may be too small concerning what can be done, and his vision may be too general without any plan for what he can be doing now to make his vision a reality. So our vision of the Lord's work may likewise be inadequate. We may have the vision of teaching as many people the gospel as possible. A noble vision on the surface, but we might be afflicted by the same shortcomings. We may think too small concerning what can be done. We may think too generally about what should be done. The problem of a vision that is too general. No dream has ever been achieved except by someone who dared to flesh it out in terms of the specifics necessary to make the dream a reality. So, for example, it's fine to plan to go to heaven, to serve the Lord faithfully, to do the work of evangelism. But how do we do such things? By what means do we get those results? What specific measurable actions will take us where we want to be? And how much time, effort, and money will it take? We need to see our vision of the Lord's work in concrete terms of things we can actually do and plan specifically how much of them we are going to do. So the problem of vision that is too little is when we do think specifically about the Lord's work, we often fail to set our sights high enough. Perhaps we are hindered by past experience. Personal efforts made in the past may not have borne fruit. Congregational efforts did not seem to go anywhere. Or perhaps we have been fed a steady diet of defeatism, told by others that people are not interested in spiritual matters anymore, telling ourselves that people are not interested anymore. With small visions, many individuals seem content with just keeping house for the Lord. Just an occasional conversation, usually involving our children or spouses. With the little limited vision, little is done and little is accomplished. And I believe the Lord intends greater things for his church, and especially for those servants with a willingness to work. And again, we go to the book of Matthew 13:31 through 33. Says he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Then, you know, though it is the smallest of all seeds, Yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the bird comes and perches on its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. In the book of 1 Corinthians 16:8-9, it says, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me." And then finally in the book of Revelation 3:8, it says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." So by that, what does a vision worthy of our Lord's work require? Perhaps the following throughs might be a step in the right direction. What our vision needs to be great. To double in attendance every year for a church, or to spread the gospel to thousands in our community each year for people. Our vision needs specific action steps. You know, if a church wants to double attendance every year, inviting 2 people a week, and by the end of the year, likely have at least 1 attending regularly. And also for a church, you know, to provide transportation to people who can't drive. Is the value of a soul not worth what time or effort might be involved? You know, for that we can turn to the book of Matthew again, 16:26, where it says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" If each person succeeded as just getting 1 person to come regularly to a church that attends, the attendance would easily double. To spread the gospel to thousands in our communities each year, give a tract to 1 person a week. You know, in a congregation of people, a congregation of 50 would share the gospel with more than 2,500 people a year. So how does that compare to the past and over the past year where no vision was present? Our vision needs faith. Faith in the power of the gospel to save souls. We go to the book of Romans 1:16-17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. To produce souls that have been born again is another thing that we need to have faith in the power of the gospel." For that, we turn to the book of Peter, 1 Peter 1:22-25. It says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." So our vision needs faith. Faith in the power of the Lord. Faith in the power of the Lord to open doors for his prepared servants. We go to 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. It says, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work is open to me, and there are many who oppose me. And in Revelations 3:8, it says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door so that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So having faith and power of the Lord, we also need that to empower his servants, wanting to do his will. And we turn to Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And again in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Our vision also needs boldness, a virtue displayed often by the early Christians. In the book of Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. In Acts 9:27, it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Again in the book of Acts 13:46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you at first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, now we turn to the Gentiles. And finally in Acts 14:3, it says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. And if we continue in the book of Acts, in 19:8, it says Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly, for there were 3 months arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And in Acts 28:31, it says he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So with that vision needing boldness, we need it also for which they prayed and solicited prayers. And again, we turn to the book of Acts. Acts 4:29-30. 29 says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. 30 goes on to say, stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We also learn about this in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:19-20, which says, pray also for me that whenever I speak words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. For that same vision that needs boldness, we also need a boldness that is based upon our hope in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says, therefore, since we have had such hope, we are very bold. And we need that to say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, despite the circumstances. And from that, we can go to 1 Thessalonians 2:2, it says, when it previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. And from that, we need to know that our vision needs persistence. Not losing heart, for we shall reap in our due time. We go to the book of Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And in that persistence, we need always abounding, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And for that, we can turn to the book of 1 Corinthians 15:58. And it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Many visions are never realized because people give up too soon. And in conclusion of all this, you know, not all vision is good. Some people have tunnel vision, focusing in on the small and often insignificant problems. And some people have visions of despair, seeing only the negative, never the positive. But I will tell you, a vision that has a grand scope worthy of its mission, such as saving souls, specific steps to accomplishing the goal, such as teaching others, and faith in the Lord and His Word, and a boldness and perseverance to carry it out, such a vision is what the people of God need today. So is that your vision? Or have you allowed yourself to have tunnel vision or a vision of despair? How much better to heed the words of Jesus. "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest." And John 4:35 says, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." So in the light of everything that's going on in the world, how does that strike you? What's your vision?
Well, I was thinking about that while you were talking. And, you know, I don't know that I consider myself a visionary. Not a great one anyway, but, you know, I think that for what I can do myself, that the vision that I have in my head is exactly where it needs to be right now. With my faith, as far as that vision is going, you know, I'm learning, I'm doing more every day. I talk about things with people, you know, of like mind, and, you know, we share our thoughts about things and how we view our vision of where we want to be when, you know, everything ends.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I mean, there are all kinds of visions to have out there. Your personal vision.
Yep.
I think that regardless of whether you're a great visionary or a small visionary, everything is always a work in progress. Yep. You know, because certainly, you know, if you look at businesses, visions change all the time. You know, if you use that as you know, a layperson example.
Definitely. And, you know, that vision starts with your personal relationship
mm-hmm.
with Christ. We've done it now for, Wow. 67 shows. We're going to keep right on doing it. I mean, it's all about your personal relationship, and starting that relationship is, you know, accepting that salvation and becoming a visionary, no matter how large or how small, but keeping your eyes on God. It's easy for us to keep our eyes on the news and everything else that's going on around us. Keeping that outward eye on things, but keeping your eyes on God. And, you know, if you've never prayed for, you know, salvation, you don't have to do it in a room full of people. You don't have to do it in a church. You can do it wherever you are. I mean, you know, admit you're a sinner and be willing to turn from that sin and repent and believe that Jesus died for you and he was buried and rose again to pay the price for your sins, and praying and inviting Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, you can do it right now. Just say this simple prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turning from sinning and doing wrong. Right now I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, get involved in a good Bible-based church. Start hanging out with like-minded people. Get a Bible. Start reading. Don't start at the end. Start at the beginning. You need to understand the beginning before you can really understand the end. Start learning how to pray. Pray for everything that's going on around in the world. Pray for everything that's going on in your family, in your life. Pray for the ones around you. That's what it's all about. You got any last thoughts over there tonight?
No.
No, just a passing no?
No.
Oh, she's still feeling silly.
No, I'm just...
If you've got an idea, something you want to hear us talk about, you got a prayer request or something, we're going to leave you with a commercial here at the end of the show telling you how to reach out to us.
Don't be a stranger.
Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. We appreciate you taking your time and joining us every week or listening on the podcast later on. We certainly appreciate it.
Or if this is your first time.
That's right. Welcome to the club.
Come on back.
That's right. We hope everybody has a great week. Stay safe and keep your eyes on God. Keep your vision. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you right here on Christian Political Talk next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLk, @gmail.com. We appreciate you listening and hope you have a blessed week. And we'll see you right here next week at Christian Polititalk.
Written with me on you might. And the prodigal son who ran, leaving his home behind, the part where the father came running to meet him, did you say that with me on your mind? Who am I? Game.